Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Praise God. Good morning, good morning. How are you this morning? God bless. You can be seated if you like. We're gonna have a testimony and worship today. Does anybody know what this church is called? Is anybody? I think I forgot. It's called Cerrito House of Worship. Amen. We're going to be a house of worship this morning. Amen. We're going to worship all morning long. We're going to give testimonies of what God has done. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I want to put a scripture up on the board. It's from Psalms. And I want you to see this scripture. I want you to take a look at it. Because every one of you have a voice. Every one of you, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And can I tell you that Jesus is a preacher? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So if you would you put up that scripture, brother? Here it is in Psalm 40, verses 8 through 10. It says, I delight. How many delight? I delight to do thy will, O God. Amen? Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Amen? Hallelujah. Hey, we're going to ask you to speak righteousness today. Let us have a testimony from you that what God has been doing for you in your life. And, you know, if you're going to take 4 hours at it, you know, well, we might cut you at 3.5. Is that okay? No. I really would like to hear from a lot of folks this morning. So get ready. And it says, this scripture says, lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. You know, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. Amen. Hey, you know, sometimes it's important that you speak what God gives you to speak. Is that okay? Can I say that to you? It's important that you speak what God gives you to speak. And don't hold back. I believe that's what the kingdom of God is about today. Amen. Is people that don't hold back. Don't stop speaking the things of God to those around. Don't hold back, but just let it fly. Let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do with the words that you're speaking. Amen? So it says this, I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Amen? The great congregation, and all of you here today, you guys are great. Amen? Look at your friend. Look next door and tell you, you're great. You're great. But, you know, He's not talking about that. The great congregation He's talking about is that whole world that's out there. That's the great congregation. And God is asking you to speak truth into their lives. He's asking you to be ready and aware enough to go ahead and step forward and give a testimony and say, this is what God has done for me. I'm going to say, one of the things about this thing, God just keeps reminding me over and over again and says, because, hey, listen, I'm wearing my mask. I am. And I love, you know, like Pastor John said this morning, out of respect, we will do that. But know this, the Word of God teaches us that we are not of this world. How many of you know that? You are of the kingdom of God. How much sickness and disease is in the kingdom of God? You tell me. And this is one of those things that just gets so far down in your heart. You say, man, there is nothing by any means that will hurt me. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not that we're foolish. Hey, come on. Isn't that right, Pastor? It's not that we're foolish. But we understand that some have not quite gotten that so cemented down in their hearts where they realize, hey, man, this thing cannot touch me. The world cannot affect you, and neither can it infect you. What affects you is the kingdom of God. I was talking to a brother this morning. He said, man, I quit watching news. How many of you watch the news all the time? It's time to just say, hey, man, you know what? The news is okay, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to focus my attention on the kingdom of God. Yes. I'm going to focus on what God is saying. Because I'll tell you, everything that's going around you is relevant. You're on this planet. Amen? Jesus didn't ignore the things going on around Him, Rome and all those other things. He didn't ignore them. Everything's relevant. But the kingdom of God is our focus, and where we're looking to say, I will lift up my eyes under the hills. That's where my help comes from. I will lift up my eyes to Him. Hallelujah. I will look and see what He is saying in this time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to take you to verse 1 and 2 of this. It says, I waited patiently on the Lord. How many of you wait on God? Wait on Him. I'll tell you, you know, this has been a time of waiting on God. Amen? And that's why I'm so jazzed up about, is that right? Can I say jazzed?
Jazzed.
I'm so excited about hearing from you guys this morning. Because I believe that you've been waiting on God. You've been waiting. And so continue to wait for what He has for you. But it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. How many of you ever been brought up out of a horrible pit? You ever been so low, man, that you just said, there ain't no way of getting out of this thing. But yet God, like it says right here, He says, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. What's the name of the rock?
Jesus.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. We've got nothing to be afraid of on this planet. Amen? Hallelujah. When the kingdom of God is alive and active in your heart, hallelujah, you walk on water. Amen. Come on, man. How many believe that? I want you today to go out to your swimming pool and try it. See what happens. I'm just kidding. That's just mean, isn't it?
I just want to say something with Pastor Henry. You know, all of us have had a chance. There's 3 months have gone by. And I would hope that when 3 hours goes by, God's saying something to you. You're hearing something from God. So every one of us in this building today should have something to say of what God's done in their lives. Even if it's just to come up here and say and thank the Lord for who He is in your life. And so I really encourage you, those of you that feel a little bit shy maybe of speaking in front of people, we were talking about that today, you know. Sometimes even us, you know, we can get to that point where, you know, you're a little bit, but hey, God gave us a mouth and a voice.
Amen.
And today's your day to use it.
Come on, brother.
And Pastor Henry says 4 hours, 3.5. I brought my chair.
Yeah.
So if I get tired, I'm good. No, actually that chair is, if someone needs to come up here and you can't stand for too long, you're welcome to sit on that chair and give your testimony. Whatever it is that you need, we want to accommodate you guys.
Amen.
So feel free. Like I said, feel encouraged to come up. God did great things during this time. Great things. And I think once you start speaking, even at that moment, He's going to give you more remembrance of what He did in your life. So here's your chance, people.
Amen.
Preach it.
Amen. Hey, so what we're going to do is we're going to open it up. We're going to take two at a time. And then after those two, we'll sing a song. We'll worship God. And then we'll have two more, and we'll worship God. And then we'll continue to do that till you all get tired and say, hey, man, we're done here, man. All right. No. But you know what? Worship the Lord. Let Him know. When you hear a testimony of God, you know, that's the time to say, praise God. God is so good. God's been so good to that brother over there. God's been so good to that sister over there. And worship Him over, okay? Because He's worthy. Amen? He's worthy to receive all the praise and the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. So we're going to start. Who would like to be first? I know first is kind of intimidating, but come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, Marian. Come on.
Probably the best place to start would be that I was raised in the Catholic Church. And I always believed that God was there. Whenever we would have communion, I would say, Lord, I'm not worthy that You come into my house. Just speak the word and my soul will be healed. And so I was married when I was 21. And about maybe 3 or 4 years after that, my sister started calling and witnessing to me about the Lord. And I said, man, you know, what's going on with this? And she would talk to me for probably 2 hours at a time. And I say, that's nice. And all the while, she didn't know that I was suspecting that my husband was running around on me. And so I'd listen, and then I started having back problems. And I'd go through periods of looking through my husband's wallet to find phone numbers, and I'd cry and go through all of this. Well, eventually, through all of this, started to make some sense, and I would say, okay. Couldn't go to sleep one night, and I said, God, you know, show me. If you're really there, show me. And with the word Billy Graham came to my mind. And with that, I was able to fall asleep. About a month later, so we're in the living room, turn on the TV, Billy Graham Crusade. Now, I think I'm supposed to be listening to this. So, of course, my husband went upstairs to bed, and I sat there, and I listened, and I cried. And I said, God, just as I am, with that one plea, I come. And that was the start. And from there, little things started happening. I'd go into an Eaton Park, and somebody would, and that was like a McDonald's, you know, back in Pittsburgh, at Eaton Park. Waitress came up, handed me a pamphlet. You want to read this? It was all about Jesus. I would see signs on the side of the road, all about Jesus, bumper stickers. So at one point, we were going to a prayer meeting, and afterwards, my sister says to me, you know, you'd really make a good Christian. I said, what do you mean, make a good Christian? She says, you mean you accepted the Lord? I says, yeah, I did. Of course I did. So then I was prayed for a back healing. And checking that, oh, yeah, one leg's shorter than the other one, so they prayed for me. I said, okay, I'm going to claim that healing. So going along, praying. I used to be, I couldn't turn my head from one way to the other. And I would go to the chiropractor 3 times a week. And this was in the 70s. The doctor that I was going to was a Christian. And he would play Chris scripture stories while we were waiting in the waiting room. So I determined that this one night, and normally I was the only one that was in the waiting room. And I would get there and be the first one in because I have to drive like 45 minutes to get there. So this night, I'm there, and the whole waiting room is filled. And I'm determining, okay, I'm going to tell him. He's a Christian. He'll understand. I'm going to tell him this. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God, you know, if you could show me something. Meanwhile, what are they playing that night? But the story of Peter around the fire. Do you know him? He denies him 3 times. Just then, somebody across the waiting room, as far away as you could get, said to me, why are you here? I'm here to be checked for healing. Okay, God, I said it once, I can do this. So I went into the waiting room, and I'm saying, God, you know, show me. Please, anything. Just then, it felt like the top of my head was lifted off, and it was like boiling water just went down slowly, seeping down all the way down my spine. And I thought, okay. Crying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The doctor comes in. And how are you today? I'm fine. He's looking at me crying. You're fine? I am fine. So, well, what's up? Okay, I was prayed for. And God touched me. Is there any way that you can tell what's going on? Oh, yeah. I'm going to bring this machine over. Run it down your spine. If there's a subluxation, it's going to show that you've got problems because there will be heat. I said, forget it. There's no sense in you checking anything because my back is on fire. And whatever you're going to show me, man, I don't need your bells and whistles. I got it going on here. God has healed me. Okay, so that brings us up to the 70s. Now, I want you to take a look here. Take a look at my legs, and you see that one leg is still considerably, you see this shortness of the difference in the length of the pants? My spine, if you look at it in the pictures, really looks pretty bad. But healing comes in all different ways. If you don't have pain, man, you're healed. You are healed. So I have gone from the 70s through the 80s, through the 90s, through the 2000s. Where are we now? 2020. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I know we've lost a couple months, but all right. So about, and since then I've had a stroke, which God has healed me from, you know, there's, but about a month ago, I tripped in the backyard and I fell on this knee. I'm kneeling out there at 75, figuring I've fallen and I can't get up. But I managed to struggle to get up. And I'm thinking, I can't tell my husband about this. Yeah, he's thinking, yeah. So I went for a couple hours and realizing I really couldn't lift this arm unless I went like this to lift it. So for the past couple weeks, the arm started feeling a little bit better, but now I can't walk and I can't get up. So and he also had to go for a colonoscopy. So he says, you really need to go to your chiropractor. So I'm trying to get an appointment down in Green Valley. And the chiropractor that I went to was no longer there. And I couldn't get an appointment. He said to me, all right, we're going to be up in Tucson. You need to find somebody in Tucson. Now, the backdrop of this, too, is we're still waiting for my husband to be saved. So he has never heard about my healing. So we're up in Tucson, and we're in the chiropractor's office. Or no, the osteopath's office. Or the, oh, wait a second, we got all the body parts. The colonoscopy. So we're waiting for the doctor to come in. And he's saying, look in your phone and find somebody up in Tucson. I'm thinking, gee, you know, this is like, you've been in an accident, you know, how am I picking somebody that's really good? So I'm looking down, and just then I look down and I see this cast of bona, and it says 180 yards away. And I thought, God, I could crawl there. So I thought, is this, you know, and just then the doctor comes in. He said, Barry, how are you? You know, fine. And Marianne, how are you doing? I says, well, I feel like I'm 95. I can't get out of the chair. My hip's out of place. He says, oh, you need a chiropractor. My buddy across the way goes to my church, and he's a chiropractor. He's really good. Oh, okay. Cast a bone? Yeah, okay. Confirmation. So I go out, make an appointment. They can see me in about half an hour. So I go over there, sitting in the waiting room. I go in to see the doctor. He goes through all this stuff, checks me out. And then the girl checks me out. Then the doctor comes in. Meanwhile, my husband is sitting next to me. And the doctor says, okay, give me some background. Well, we went from square one. I got to tell him the whole story. My husband's sitting next to me. We're not looking at each other. I'm talking to the doctor. So that night I go home and the doctor calls me to see how I'm doing. And I said, "Doctor, you know what a miracle this was? My husband has never heard this story. And we just praise God." He asked me what church I went to, non-denominational. He's praising the Lord. We're thanking God that he takes what the enemy has meant for evil and turns it for good. So, pretty soon my husband is going to be up here. Yeah, and that's only, you know, a couple things. Since then, there's been a couple of other things, and I know that I'm going to be doing flips and cartwheels soon. It wasn't 3 hours, but...
No, that was fine. Praise God. Thank you, Mary. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give her a hand.
Give her a hand.
Thank
guys.
You, Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, who's next? I know I heard a sweet old, not old, sweet young lady. Uh-oh. Debbie, why don't you come up? I know she's been wanting to share her heart for a while. And
come on.
Hallelujah. This would be a good time to do that.
Good morning. My name is Debbie Castle. I'm at church every Sunday. And back in August of 1991, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And then back in April of 2013, my husband and I, we moved down here to enjoy retirement years. But then in June, he became ill. I took him up to Banner Hospital, and he had a heart attack, and he passed away. And then in 2014, I was diagnosed with lymphoma of my left knee. So I went back to Illinois. I still have a sister who lives back in Illinois. So I went back to Illinois for 6-7 months. They did 6 chemotherapy treatments on my left knee, plus I also went through 22 radiation treatments. And I asked my oncologist, would I be able to come back to Green Valley to live? And both of my oncologists says, I don't see why not. So I came back in March 8th of 2015, been back ever since. And then back in 2018 of May, I had my left toe, my big toe on my left foot partially amputated due to poor circulation. And that was outpatient. I was in St. Mary's at 8 o'clock, and they were already kicking me out at 11 o'clock. And I was back down here in Green Valley, back home at 11:30. And now on April 17th, I went to see my doctor, and everything is good. All my blood work came back fine. All my blood tests, my numbers are right where they should be. And he says to me, he says, "Debbie, I'll see you in a year." And everything is great. There are no other signs of cancer, nothing. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Come on, man. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Debbie. Can God heal? Does he heal? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about Marian's, and, you know, I think the apostles had asked Jesus one time, they said, "See this blind man over here, born blind. Who sinned? His mom? His parents? Who sinned?" And Jesus said, "Neither. Nobody." He said, "But for the glory of God." Amen. For God's glory to be seen. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, God still does healing. God is a healing God. Amen. He is a healing God, and he will expose himself in healings to those that don't get it, those that don't know him. And hallelujah. And you know what? It's for his kingdom, for his glory. Amen. How many believe in healing? How many? I walk in it. How many of you walk in healing? Man, You have to believe that God has done something through his son. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah.
And I believe this is a new day for that. A lot of us that have been waiting for something to happen with our bodies and the issues we're going through, you know, this time that we spent in his presence, this time that we wanted to hear from him, this is the time where he is getting you ready. There are some things that you have not seen, but as we were, my wife and I were talking the other day, there is a spirit of expectation in this body, whether it be in healing, whether it be just a spurt of joy that'll last forever, whatever it is, be expecting something new, something good. Look for it. Open your eyes. Open your ears. And there's something for you specific.
Well, glory to God. You know, he is good. I wanted to just share something about ministering to the Lord. Real easy. You know, Pastor Henry, when he says things like wait upon the Lord, that waiting is like a waiter to a client. Our ministry is indeed waiting upon the Lord, doing what he directs you to do. One day, we went to the DMV, and don't you know that's a vacation destiny? And we walked up to the counter. Finally, it got to be our turn. And the dear lady behind the counter, she was curt. And that's a nice way to put it. Well, by the second question, I've had enough. I reached over and I touched the back of her hand and I said, "What's the matter? Is there something I can do for you?" And I could see the tears welling up into her eyes and her lower lip was quivering. I said, "Let me pray for you." This is a real short prayer, but I want you to know it's just as effective as 10 hours long, if not better. I said, "To the storms swirling around in your life right now, I speak to them and I say, peace, be still. In Jesus' name." There it is.
How many of us would have the boldness to do such a thing?
Come on.
And that's what God is asking us to do. That's what the Holy Spirit within us stirs that in us. So if we just step out, imagine all the good stuff that he can do through us, through you. He needs you.
Praise God. Amen.
Who's next? Hey, all right.
Okay, so this is something that actually is, the Lord is reminding me right now. This was actually brought to me here one day at a women's meeting when I first started coming to church and I turned my life around. I was coming to church and one day in a women's meeting, a lady came up to me after the meeting and she was like, "Hi, I just wanted to say hi to you." And I'm like, "Hi." And then the next week she come up to me and she says, "Have you ever heard of," and I don't want to put too much out there because I put this is in the Lord's hand. So, and I was like, "No," but so I go home and I look into it. And this has been, I mean, like when I first came here, it was a while back. And then as we've been at COVID, I was at home and I had been looking into what this lady had told me. And I was, you know, following that. And then it came on my heart that maybe I should apply. And I said, okay, so I applied. And then and my life has gotten comfortable where I'm at. I've been reunited with my family. Now this is something that requires for me to step out of my comfort zone and go somewhere. There'll be some Jericho walls, one would say, leaving the state, and I'm not even allowed to leave the county by law, as we say, but the Lord has said to do something maybe. And so I'm like, okay, so as we speak, this is in the pastoral team's, the email said before I came here, this is with the review with the pastoral staff. We will get back to you next week. So I'm like, and I say, "Lord, if you want me to go, I will go." I said this to him when it came on my heart. And now I'm like, "Oh, this may actually go." So, and then it just reminded me right now that the lady actually came to me one day here. When I first came here, she stepped out and said, "Do you know?" And I was all, "No." But, so anyway, that's my testimony where I'm at. Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. I got a phone call, or I got an email from the people that were checking up on her, man. And I said, "Oh, man, you know what? You really don't want me. But go ahead, please do." I said, if you want to use me as a reference, because I'm going to strengthen you, man. You know, the Word of God says that God calls those things that are not as though they were. And so when they said that, I said, "Look, this young lady, she's ready to preach. But she's asking you for some direction. And I believe that God is sending her to you. So get ready, because this young lady is going to be prophesying to the body of Christ soon." And so she's a woman of God. Amen? Come on, man. Amen. That's what I'll do to all of you. I will not look on the outside. I will look on the inside. And I will say, this is what I believe God has for this person. I believe God's going to use this person. How many of you know every one of you are preachers? Did you know that? Did you know that? Do you know that? You know why? Because Christ dwells in you. A lot of you say, "Oh, no, well, I don't preach. Well, get yourself out of the way and you watch how you begin to preach. You allow him to flow through you. You're a preacher. You're a healer. You're an evangelist. You're all those things because it's Christ that dwells in you. Isn't that cool? That's cool, man. Hallelujah. That's two. Can we get one more short one, and then we'll sing one more song, another song? I know I said two, but let's come on, Linda.
This is really short, so I promise. Just yesterday, I was so excited to see this happen. We've been serving the Lord, doing Bible studies in our home for a while, and this just touches me so deeply that I just had to share it. There was a lady that came yesterday. She had previously been a Muslim. She's now a Christian, and she's wanting so much information, and she found an avenue for that information yesterday, and I'm just excited about it. Just had to share it. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. How many know God's after Muslims? How many know that? Come on, man. You don't have to study Muslims to allow God to speak to them. Amen. Let him just open up to him. Let him use you. Amen. Praise God, man. I such a powerful song. And I was talking to a young man this morning and just saying that, you know, we need to quit looking at kids and looking on the outside and addressing things on we see on the outside, because that will never get the gospel of God into those hearts. What we need to do is, like Ephesians says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, what's that? You read them a Bible story? No. What is God talking to you about? Share that with your children. Share that with your neighbor's children. Share that with those young people that come around you. Share what God is nurturing and bringing you up in, and you watch what God will do, because it's His Word. It's an outgoing of His Word. Hallelujah. To the generations that are behind there, that are before us and behind us. So continue to speak God's word to them. What God has told you, use that. Forget about what you see on the outside. Amen? Stop. Stop looking at. We have too long tried to train our children by addressing what we see them going through. Forget it. What God has given you, share it. And you watch what God will do. Because it's an inheritance. It is for the children. It's an inheritance. It's the Spirit of God that will come upon a person.
Hallelujah.
In the life of a young person.
Amen.
So get to it. Do it. Our children are depending on it. God is watching. Hallelujah. Don't address the outside. Go after the inside. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Quite an inheritance. Hallelujah. Woo! If you can sit, you can sit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Abe asked if he could come up and give a testimony to, because he said Micaiah wants to give a testimony, but he has to hold the baby while she's giving a testimony. So, oh, look at Micaiah's coming. Praise God. Come on.
That's a perfect song to share what I'm going to share, but God's timing is perfect. I just wanted to share that I've been home for 2 months straight with Our little guy, he's 7.5 months old, so we didn't go out of the house for 2 months. So I had heard a lot about Guy. I would listen to the sermons and everything, and hearing people saying that what a wonderful time they've had being able to spend this time with God and get alone with God and get into their Bibles. And I was feeling bad about that because, gosh, you know, being at home all day with him, it's a full-time job. Thank you. And I felt bad because I felt like I wasn't spending enough time with God as I should. And I wanted to, but, you know, he just took up all my time, which is fine. I love that. But then I came across something. Somebody posted, I think it was Facebook, I don't remember. And it was talking about how in biblical times, the men would go to meet with God on the mountain. And the women would stay home, and they would take care of the children and the animals and the home so the men could go and meet with God. And then what it said was, the women didn't have to go because God would meet them where they were, wherever they were. And that really brought me comfort because, you know, I would read my Bible when I could, you know, even only nap for half an hour. So that's not a whole lot of time. And, you know, usually I would eat something or whatever, but wash bottles. But I would do what I could, but I just didn't. I felt like it wasn't enough. And that brought me comfort. And then a few days after that, I went to sleep and I woke up and God gave me a dream that night for a friend of mine that was going through something. And I woke up and I was so happy. And I let her know about the dream, about, you know, everything was going to be okay. She was worried about something. But even when we sleep, God is with us. And so I just, can you pull up the chorus to that song? It's in the morning and the evening. Yeah, in the morning and the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is with you. He is for you. So I just wanted to, because I think it's very important, especially right now. A lot of people, you know, the church is not as full as it usually is, and some people are still home, and they're listening online, and that's fine. But I just want you to know that even though you're not here at the mountain, you know, God is with you. The mountain is in you. The mountain is there with you at home, wherever you are. You don't have to be here. We miss you. We love you. We love that you're here. But don't feel bad. God is with you wherever you are. Amen. Hallelujah.
I should have went first. There's no way I'm going to top that. You know, I've heard a lot of people around me talking about how they are during this time. You know, people kind of like my wife, where, you know, they're at home. And for me, it's different. Like, I wasn't really at home. I'm in a, air quotes, essential worker. So I was going to work every day. There was a short time where I got to stay home at least one day a week, but still. It seemed like I got busier during this time. But one thing I got to say is that I'm grateful that God still gave me an outlet to serve him. Because, you know, I was still here Sundays helping to record. Just a few of us, a handful of us. And you know, we got to start the podcast. Yeah, which I really loved. Because I mean, this may sound crazy to some people, but it better not. That you know, I love talking about God. You know, I love it, and you know, in fact, God gave me something about this time that He just brought back to my remembrance. There was a men's retreat we did. I think it was the last one we did, and you know, it was, you know, what do you want us to pray for so that you have it, that you can, you know, move on in your ministry, you know, and grow. And one thing I wanted to ask for was to know God's heart. When I was a lot younger, I'd asked God for wisdom and knowledge. This is back in my junior high days. And I believe he's given me that. But, you know, I had prayed, God, you know, can I know your heart? Because I think a lot of times there's where I get, like, maybe too analytical, too logical about things. And I forget to look at people with compassion and love. And I think through all of this, I learned that compassion more than I ever knew. And that finally that prayer that had been prayed for me almost a year ago, I think, had become true, where I got to know God's heart more and more. Because, I mean, I can have all the wisdom, all the knowledge in the world, but, you know, as we know in Colossians, it doesn't matter if I don't have love. So, through all this, it's actually been good for me, because I've been able to look at people with different eyes, through God's eyes, to understand that people don't act the way they do because they just want to be mean and angry, but it's because there's something inside of them is broken. And that I just needed to learn to be a person who would see that first and not react to how they're acting towards me, but to look at them with God's eyes and treat them with love. So I would say through all this, I've grown quite a bit when it comes to compassion, which I thought I had before. But I think it's so much more now. And I thank God for everything He's put me through to allow me to mature to do that. So, amen.
Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll take one more. Let's get another. Come on, Charlie. Oh, Hank, you're up first. You're up next. Yeah, sorry.
Right after the next song.
He's praise bigger God. Than you are.
You guys so enjoy it? Are you guys enjoying this? Man, praise God, man. This is good.
Yeah, he is bigger than you.
Well, in case you guys don't know me, my name is Charles Carr. I've been coming to the church since about the end of last year, and I'm so blessed and grateful to be here and spend time with you guys. And God's put a lot of things on my plate, and I'm trying to negotiate through all that. But a little bit about me. Before I started coming to church, I was in a bad place in my life. I was doing drugs and with the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club and just doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And I knew better at the time because I was raised a Christian, originally from Oklahoma. And since I was a little kid, I've just been told stories about Christ and God and David and Goliath and all kinds of stories growing up. And my wife sent me an email one day. I was having a hard time because I felt alone. And pretty much the email broke down to " God never leaves you, never forsakes you. No matter how often you might turn your back on him, he'll never turn your back on you. And from that day forward, I told myself I'm never going to turn my back on God again. And since we've been coming to church and my daughter's been reading the Bible, and she went to grandma's house a couple weeks ago, and she came home, told me and my wife a story about she wanted to spend time with her friends. She's having a hard time with the COVID situation, not being able to spend time with her friends. And she did a lot of like FaceTiming stuff, and she didn't have a chance to do that with them. And she felt like her friends were abandoning her. And the proudest moment ever in my life being her dad was hearing her say, I prayed to God and God gave her a hug. And knowing that God is with her and she's having her own relationship with God has made me more proud than I don't think she could ever do anything that can compare to that. And she shared me and humbled me, and I know a lot of people have been humbled by their kids sometimes. While all this negative stuff's been going on in the news, all the rioting and the COVID stuff, I found myself just getting engulfed with it, paying attention on my phone all the time, look on the news, paying attention to all that stuff. And I was telling Pastor Henry this morning that my wife and I decided to just not watch the news anymore, get off of our phones, delete Facebook apps and all that stuff. And I think one of the biggest things that happened with me and my daughter is telling when she told me that God was with her, and she shares scripture with me. It was 1 John chapter 2, I want to say, or actually, excuse me, it's Luke chapter 6, 27, 28, talking about all the sin in the world. That's not what God wants us to be paying attention to. That we get distracted by all types of different things, and anything that takes our eyes off of God is a sin. And we really need to get off of our phones and spend time with our family. And I think that's, a lot of people say 2020 has been a horrible year. And to me, it hasn't been, because it's given me the opportunity to, with the COVID situation, to spend more time with my daughter, talk to her, her being home. And I think there's a lot of people out in the world that feel the same way. And to me, it's a blessing, because a lot of us spend time going to work and back and forth to work all the time, and we didn't really have time to pay attention to our children. And I think right now, more than anything, if we're going to get through this and go through things, children is the key. We have to educate them at a young age that the Word of God is the only way. So I really believe that in my heart.
Praise God. Come on. God is doing something. Come on. Woo, praise God. Come on. Let's worship. That was... Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
We need a move.
How many believe we need a move? Woo, hallelujah. You know, I hope I can say this right. Praise God. You know, it's funny. The children of Israel never moved until that cloud, that pillar by day and that cloud by, or cloud by day and pillar by night, they never moved until it moved. Now, folks, I don't know how else to say, we need to get that lesson in our hearts. Move only when God moves. Don't try to do it on your own. We need a move, but that move is in Him. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I love it, man. I had promised. Who did I say? Hank. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Woo.
Yes, he was much bigger than me. Had a revelation today that I'd like to share with you guys. In a confession. How many people here know that God's in control? Boy. How many people know that His ways are as far above ours as heavens are above the earth? And it's so hard to understand sometimes what He's doing in our lives. Three months. I'm blessed that I have a job. I still have a job. My job actually allows me to work from home. And my company said, you will work from home. You will not come in. And so I'm sitting at home for 3 months going crazy. And yet, God's in charge, and He has a plan. And I just came to that realization listening to all these testimonies today. Because about 8 or 9 weeks ago, my prodigal son came home. We went through about 5 days of drug withdrawal with him. And he's been clean since. Praise God for that. But I was there during that time instead of sitting in an office somewhere else. And I didn't thank God for that. I didn't realize. Going through it, sometimes you don't realize, right? But when on the other end, you see what he's done for you. And then about 2 weeks after that, we get a call from my grandson's mom, actually his boys, saying she had lost the place where she was living. And she had no place to take care of the boys, and could we take them? And so once again, got my two grandsons, and several of you know them. They've come here occasionally with me. Mom and I are not spring chickens anymore. But sitting here, I realized that I've been home for all this. I've been there for all this. And my wife didn't have to do it on her own. And God's got a plan. And He really is in charge. And it all does work out. And we just have to have faith and not question. Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Thank you, brother.
Chelsea. Where's Chelsea? She's got a buddy coming up with her.
Hello. So whenever we left church like 2 months ago or sometime in March, everything was like pretty good with the baby and everything. I'm 35 weeks pregnant almost right now. But over the past few months, when we went to the doctor, they told us that she was like a little smaller than what she should be. So we've been worried, and they told us, well, she has like a growth restriction. She won't have it when she comes out, but it's just because her placenta, like, maybe might not be giving her like enough nutrients in there. But we were really scared, and even though we were scared, we did tests and stuff, and because they told us, oh, it could be this, it could be this. But everything has like turned out good. But the thing that is like the testimony from it is that even though we've been so scared and stuff, and we haven't been in church, you know, to like, you know, be around so many people that would like pray for us or whatever. I have had like Rebecca and Oscar and my sister-in-law and Henry and Rosie and stuff. And I wasn't going to come up here, but Makaya has been in touch with me like every week, every, you know, anytime I need something, she's like been there. And she, the dream she was talking about, she didn't say like out of respect or whatever, but it was for me. And the day before I went to the doctor, it was to find out, just to make sure her fluids were good and stuff. But she said that whenever she had the dream, me and my husband were at her and Abe's house, and we were a little older. Like, I don't know how old we were, but we were a little bit older, and I was pregnant. But she said I wasn't pregnant with my daughter, but I was pregnant with another baby, and my daughter was with us, and she said the baby was fine. So that just brought like that just brought us a lot of comfort, because, you know, we know that God gave her that dream to let us know that the baby will be okay. So and I'm like almost 35 weeks, so she's gonna come out at 38 weeks, so 3.5 more, but she is still in there and doing good. So I just if you guys could just pray that she stays in for at least 3.5 more weeks. But I think she's good now if she decides to come out, but hopefully she stays in a little longer.
Come on, praise God. Thank you, Chelsea. Praise God. Linda, come on. Praise God. Woo. I love this. I'm going to tell you something. I got it. I got to let you know. I love this. I love to hear the body of Christ ministering. I'm sorry.
You're okay. That's really wonderful. I've been home for a few months from my job, and I was so blessed that God provided for me during that whole time. My job paid me full salary. He's been paying, my job has been paying my team members, and they have been working shorter schedules, anywhere from 3 to 4 days. They're getting paid full time. And so I praise God for who I work for, and he's the one who gave me that job. And, you know, there have been people who tried to get me out of that job, and it never happened because God was with me. And let me tell you, I become like a giantess, everything, because God is with me. And I use the word, and at work, I pray for people. And even when, people kind of look at me when I say, I'm going to pray for you, and they think I'm going to pray for you, after they leave. And then I tell them, no, now. And it's amazing because the Holy Spirit shows me things that, as the prayer happens, they're crying. Well, during this 3 months, I didn't have that. And, I was lonely, and my son told me, and you met him, the announcer guy, So anyway, he said, well, Mom, what are you doing? And, I said, you're right. Why am I not calling people? Why am I not sharing with people? And I usually don't take calls from anyone that I don't know. And this day, the Lord says, answer the phone. I answered the phone. It was an insurance agent, and I'm thinking, oh, no, now I'm stuck. But, as we got to talk, I could hear the sadness in his voice. And he was working from home. He has 2 kids. And, as we were talking and on, I said, can I pray for you? And he kind of stuttered and stammered. And he goes, well, yeah, okay. And so I prayed for him. And then he started asking me questions about the Holy Spirit, about, tithing. And I mean, who thinks you would have a conversation like that with an insurance agent? I didn't purchase anything, but I told him, I said, when this is over and we can meet, I do want to meet with you. And, he did a really good job, selling and everything. But, I said, well, we can't see each other. But I said, let's talk about your family. And so I was able to pray for him and talk to him. And every week he calls me. He calls me to check on me and to ask me questions, And so, we can touch people even though they're strangers. And it doesn't matter who. It just matters when God says speak. Because I didn't have to share with him. I didn't have to talk to him. But God showed me he needs you. He needs me, And he's a believer, but he's a young believer. And he doesn't even really know, which direction to take or where to go. And I told him, I said, listen to our podcast. And he goes, oh, that's a good idea. My wife and I can, learn things, through that. And I said, absolutely. So he called me this week and he told me, he says, Linda, my son had a vaccination and now he's taken a step back. And, I said, we're going to pray against that. I said, because God has him in your hands and you are his spiritual head. And I said, you're his protector, but God protects even against those kind of things. And I said, so you're not, don't fear. And so then he goes, you know what? You're right. And the blessing is he can communicate, but he communicates with sign language. And I said, how beautiful is that? I said, but now you're going to enrich him and you're going to talk to him through your voice and show him that he has dual options and that this is not going to be a step back. This is a step forward, because what a blessing that he has the language, from the sign language. But now he's going to go further and he's going to be blessed. And I said, you are not cursed. And so we prayed. And so, we just got to take that option that's available to us when the Holy Spirit says, speak, speak. Because you have to remember, he has prepared the heart of whoever you're speaking to. And even though you might get a little anger, you might be planting a seed that someone else has to come water and fertilize. So now I've developed this relationship with this young man, and we're growing in faith together. You know, so I'm just so blessed. And then I'm so blessed that my son calls me every night because I'm alone. You know, I'm a widow. So I'm home alone. And sometimes he brings me meals. Sometimes he calls me, you know, just to give me an encouraging word or send me a text. And between him and Micaiah, you know, I get to see pictures of my grandson because I couldn't see and be with him. And I'm just so blessed that I have a son and daughter-in-law who you just heard from, you know, and they are just so loving to those around them. You heard Chelsea's testimony, you know, so I'm blessed. And Abe can give me a word or, you know, something of encouragement to say, Mom, what are you doing? And I'm so touched by their love, by who they are. And, you know, I'm a proud mama, you know, and so, but I'm also, you know, someone who I'm a believer and I can share the word with people. And I can make a difference. So just, I encourage you, make a difference. Talk to people. Pray for people. Take that step. I mean, the worst that's going to happen, they're going to tell you no. But, you know, I've never been refused. And it doesn't matter what church they go to. Because our God covers a multitude of churches. So praise God.
Thank you, Linda. Praise God. Let's worship. Praise God. How many of you know that you are the canvas and the clay? Come on. God's doing the work. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, man. I'm enjoying this. How many of you guys enjoying it? Oh,
Amen.
I love this thing, man. Praise God. I hope you're not getting tired. If you do, man, we got some electricity in here. We'll shock. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, come on, man. Now. Do something now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Terry, can I get you? Come on up. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on, man.
Well, during this time that we were off, the Lord was speaking to me. I was looking at a wall in my garage, and I was trying to figure out how I can repair some damage that was done to the wall. And he spoke to me and he said, tear that wall down, build a new one. And I'm like, you know, we're at stay-at-home orders, don't you, Lord? And he said, order your materials online. So I did. I ordered all the materials I needed online at a big box store. And I got an email saying that your materials are ready. Come pick them up. Well, I didn't know how difficult that was going to be. 3.5 hours later, I got half of my materials. And the people there kept, we're sorry, we're sorry, we're sorry. It's taking so long, it's taking so long. And I could have said, hey, I ordered this online. You said it was ready. Why am I waiting so long? But I kept saying, it's okay. It's okay. Because I had the peace of the Lord with me. So I get these materials. I start building this wall. And I asked my wife to come help me put up the first section. And it's in a difficult place to put in. And we struggled with that wall like you wouldn't believe. We struggled and struggled. And I actually thought I was going to pass out. And, of course, my wife is struggling more than I am. So we finally got it in there. And I was sitting down. And I thought, Lord, how am I going to get the next section up? I can't put my wife through that again. And he showed me how. He says, you tried to do the first one on your own strength. Now you're going to do it with my strength. And he showed me exactly what to do. Put this here, attach this to that, so on and so forth. Now, have your wife guide it and raise it up. And it was just like, up, went in, fell right into place. After that was all over, the next day, the Lord says, sometimes you need destruction before there can be reconstruction. He was talking to me about this time that we're in right now. Right now, there's some destruction going on in this country. There's destruction going on in the economy. But sometimes you need destruction to reconstruct. He put us in various places during this time. He put us on our knees. Some of us were able to spend more time with the Lord than we were before. But when you do construction, what do you need? You need a firm foundation. You need the rock of Christ. He's our firm foundation. Jesus is the rock. What does he want to do with you? If this is his rock, I want to carry it with me everywhere I go. I'm attached to this rock. All are attached to this rock. Some of you are further away. You're in the far corner. Some of you are right next to me, but we're all attached in some way. The pastor was mentioned, I think you mentioned cement this morning. I'm not sure. But just like in construction, the foundation in construction is concrete. What is that? It's a bunch of small rocks that you attach to the rock. We are all rocks in one way or another. Peter, his name actually means a piece of rock. But the rock that they were talking about when Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. The rock he was talking about, that rock, is a massive rock. That's the definition. He said he's going to build his church on him, the massive rock. And that's what he's doing. He destructed our way of life so that we could stand back and say, watch what I'm going to build. And he's going to empower us. You just watch what's going to happen to all of you and all of the churches in this country. Mighty works of God are going to happen soon. Thank you.
Brother Steve. Praise God. Amen. Come on, Brother Steve.
Hallelujah.
We got quite a list running, so bear with us. We're good. We're doing good.
Praise God. Amen.
Hello, everybody. And I thank Abe a lot because I thought I was going to go talk after Michaela, and I was crying a lot. So thank you, Abe. So, so you know, all through this morning, God's been showing me all kinds of things that he's been showing me through the last 3 months and even before that. And the one song was, may we find favor with him. We have his favor. And even more than that, we have... You know, we're his sons and daughters. We're kings and priests. And we already have our inheritance right now. We don't have to wait for it. We have it right now. And we're not walking in it. And I encourage all of us, me too, that we walk in that inheritance, knowing who Jesus is in our life and what he's already given to us. And what Terry was talking about was destroying the walls. And that's important because I think each one of us have walls built up against other people. Sorry. They need to be torn down so we can love God, our Father, with all of our heart and love others. And that's when we have unity. So that's all.
Hallelujah. That's my brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Always a good word out of that brother, if you can get through it. Amen. Come on, man. Always a good word. Brother Eli and Cheryl, would you come on? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I haven't forgot about you, Bessie. You're on there. Praise God.
Good morning. How is everyone? Excuse our masks. Well, don't excuse them, honestly. We both work in positions where we're with a lot of people, so we got to protect ourselves so we can protect others that we work with. So we're constantly having a mask on in everything we do. You all normally hear me, and you're going to hear from me in a sec. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear a jewel, they always say the strength of a husband is through their wife. And I'm a firm believer in that. Today is a blessed day for me. It's a blessed day for me. And one of the reasons why I'm so blessed is because of my wife. And so my wife is going to come to speak if you haven't heard my wife. And this is my wife, Cheryl. And watch out, ladies.
Thank you. I can't do this. I gotta do this. Okay, I'm sorry. But, Revelations chapter 12:11 says, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And that's all that I could feel and hear within my spirit as Pastor said, we're going to do testimony. And I was like, oh, we're going to overcome by the word, blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And every testimony, I don't know about you, but that's what it's been doing. It's just been giving me more and more, just like a fire shut up in my bones, just like it says, you know. And I just couldn't wait. And I was just like, oh, I got to get up there. I got to get up there. I've missed all of you so much. I miss church so much. I just feel blessed. Even through all this, we've been blessed. You know, as soon as we heard anything that was going on and they might have had a total shutdown, we told my mom, come and live with us right away. Come and live with us, because we don't know. My sister, one of my sisters was sick. The other one lives too far away. So I got the blessing to get my mom to live with me. That, to me, that's a blessing. I love my mom. So that was the first time I was blessed. And then I was just like, Lord, I'm scared. I don't know what to think. This thing is just crazy. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You don't know it's coming. And I was like, Lord, I'm full of fear. And I was like, Lord, you got to help me. And I read this little saying, and it says, Disneyland is closed. All the sports are closed. But my job is, we'll see you in the morning. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, Lord, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And right away, I got this thought in my head, this feeling, this encouragement that was like, Cheryl, this is your Queen Esther moment. For such a time as this, you go and you do your Esther moment. And so I was like, okay, Lord. And on my way to work, I was like, Lord, I'm just scared, Lord. I don't know. What am I going to tell? Because what I do is I'm the parent coordinator at a resource center. And so I call the parents, and I'm supposed to encourage them as they're spending 24/7 with their children that they have not spent with this long. And they're like, Cheryl, I can't stand it anymore. And this is just day one. I got to be a teacher now. I got to teach them. I got to make sure that they don't want to even get up and take a bath, Cheryl. I don't know what to do. And I'm just like, oh, Lord, what do I tell them? And the Lord gave me three things. And for the first one was, this is your Esther moment. The second thing was, have an attitude of gratitude. So I told him, let's have an attitude of gratitude. Let's think of what are we grateful for. And so they started naming things that they're grateful for, and they started feeling a little bit better. And then I was like, oh Lord, what else do I tell them? What can I say? And I heard this one on a podcast that I listened to, and they said, control the controllables. And I was like, okay, parents, we got to control the controllables. What can you control? And they were like, well, I can make them brush their teeth. Okay, let's make them brush their teeth. All right, step one, the next day, and just kind of God, I'm encouraged him, and I've been encouraging him the whole time. I have not lost any pay. I have worked every day. We have been healthy, and I've had an attitude of gratitude. Amen? Well, one morning, I was going to work, and I was like, Lord, I'm tired. I don't feel like getting up. But if I don't get up, and I say I'm sick, and I'm going to stay home, you know what they're going to tell me? Go get tested. Have you seen that test? I am not going to go get tested. Uh-uh. You can't call in sick and not be gone for 14 days. You know what I'm saying? To make sure that you're okay. So I couldn't even say that. So I was like, that was my motivation. So I got up, and on my phone is my song list. And on my song list, all of a sudden, I don't know how it happened because I'm not really tech savvy here. And so somehow my phone got connected to my car stereo. And oh my goodness, all of a sudden this song came on. I'm going to sing it just a little bit. And I'm going to look up the lyrics because sometimes I make up my own words. But let me see here. Okay, here it goes. And it goes a little bit like this. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away. In the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, oh, fly away. And then it says, just a few more weary days and then fly away to a land where joy shall never end. Oh, fly away. Everybody, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, oh, fly away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's what I was singing as I was on my way to work. And I got down and I was like, oh, Jesus, I'm going to just sing and be grateful and have an attitude of gratitude, and I'm just going to work through this. And I did, and I've been blessed, and I could not wait to testify and say, I am so glad that we don't just sit here and just get spiritually fed. Oh, no. We got some preachers in the house. Amen? We got some testimony people in the house where you can just overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I'm so excited to be here this morning. Amen.
So while Carol's going through all what she's going through, as you can tell, she works a whole lot more than I do. She deals with a whole lot more than I. But, you know, I don't know how you've been through this. You know, working at a school, her working with parents and students, and you know, how many of you have heard a lot of questions on why are we going through this and why is that? And I'm going to be honest with you, I love that. Because I've always told people this, don't wait to stand before God to find out your answer. See, if there's any moment in time that we have a chance to learn something about God, it's now. If there's any time in history that we get to see God's faithfulness and his love and his mercy and his grace, it's now. You know, I was talking, my wife and I, my mother-in-law and my daughter, we walk most nights now. And my daughter and I were talking. And, you know, and I was telling her, I don't know why 100,000 people have died. I don't. Here in the United States. I don't know why over 1 million people have been infected and are dealing with this. I don't know why. I don't know why it's in this time and this hour that all this is happening. I don't know why We start off with fires in Australia. Then we go to a COVID thing. And then we hear about hornets. And then we hear about riots. And now we're seeing a mountain on fire up there in the Catalinas. And I don't know why 2020 has started off and has been this way. But you know what? I know this, that God's in control. And I'm not going to wait to get to heaven to find out why we're going through this. I'm not going to wait to get to heaven to ask Jesus and ask the Father and say, hey, why did this have to happen? Why did so-and-so have to experience this death? Why did so-and-so have to live in this fear? Why did this have to happen to so many people? I don't want to get to heaven and have to wait till then to get the answer. And none of us should. Because if at any moment, you know, we see this mask and we look at it as what? Protection, right? But I kind of like it because it kind of makes me shut my mouth a little bit more. Hello? It's no fun breathing through this thing. And it's no fun talking through this thing. So it makes me want to keep my mouth shut, which therefore means that my actions should speak louder than my words. I shouldn't have to use this to show the love of Jesus. I shouldn't have to show my mouth, though it's a great use to be able to share. And I love what Sister said. Man, make every opportunity. Use it over the phone. But you know what? Some people just need to see the love of God through all this. You don't need to say your own point. You don't need to see what you feel about it. You don't need to say why you like it, why you don't like this. You don't need to say what you like about what's going on, what you don't like about what's going on. All we have to do is show. They shall know you by your fruits, by how you act, by who you are. And let's not wait till after all this is done to find out why. For your own personal life, for my personal life, I'm finding out why. We're in better financial situation than we've ever been. We're about ready to buy a house. We're moving a little closer, just not too close. We're a little closer. My son's coming back home. And we're just in such a blessed time, my wife and I and our family. And I've declared over my life and my family that my latter days shall be greater than my former days. And we're going to live that out. And let's not wait. David asked in Psalm 13, he asked all these questions, why God and how long and what's this? Let's not wait to get to heaven. And again, the answers to your questions done. Let's find out why now. And I encourage you, seek God. Because he can be found. He can be found. Bless you all.
Praise God. Betsy, come. I know the musicians are headed back in, but here we go. Come on.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
I get to follow that. Years ago when I came to the Lord. I have two older brothers. The middle brother, emotionally abused me for years, my whole childhood. And I turned around and said, you know what? I hate you. And I wouldn't care if you dropped dead. A few months later, I'm over at the neighbor's house playing. It was like 10 o'clock at night in the summer. And I rode my bike around between the two houses, and I saw this white van at my house. And I thought, he's not supposed to have friends over. Mom and Dad are home. And I noticed the two red X's on the crosses on the back of the van, and it was an ambulance taking him to the hospital. They thought he had tried to commit suicide because there was a horse lead that was hooked up like a noose, and multiple pills laying on top of the stereo. And that night, I was so angry because God showed me I didn't hate him. I did not want him to die. And darn it, I actually loved him. So a few months or years after that, I strive to get his acceptance and couldn't. And then when I came to the Lord, he would have nothing to do with me. He would call out to my house, speak very professional, and tell me, yes, is Mr. Mark Shantz there? That was my husband at the time. When I answered the phone. Not, you know, hey, it's Matt, can I talk to your, you know, talk to Mark. Wouldn't even acknowledge me for years. And my mom and dad, through a lot of prayer, my mom and dad came back to the Lord. And so did my brothers, including Matt. And he told me afterwards, he goes, the reason why I avoided you is because I didn't want you to preach to me. I said, no, I just wanted to tell you I love you. And sometimes that's all they need to hear. Anyway, since then, you know, my brothers and my mom and dad are all followers of Christ and have served him. 2 weeks before the lockdown, I was blessed to be able to go back to Florida and be at my dad's bedside and be with him when he passed away. I stayed at my brother's house, and we had a wonderful time. Had COVID, the lockdown, been 2 weeks earlier, I wouldn't have been there for my dad. And it was a very special time that my brother and I had never had. I mean, we, you know, saw each other and stuff after that, but it wasn't the same. Now, when I came back and they had the lockdown, and yes, I'm one of those essential workers. Stella knows I was scared to death. Not near as scared as I am right now. But I got over it, and I'm no longer scared. Reason why I wear this mask is not for my protection. It's for yours, because I started, when the lockdown started going to work a half hour early. My shift starts at 6:30. I'd get there at 6. And I would march, or walk, actually, around the cul-de-sac where I work, through the 3 assisted living buildings, and pray for a cover of protection for the staff, and the residents, who are also my friends, over COVID. Now, you've all heard on the news, nursing homes and assisted living buildings being wiped out, and entire residents dying. We've had very few cases. We do have the COVID unit over at Hacienda, and we have lost a few. Over at La Villa, we haven't lost any, or any staff. We haven't lost any staff, period. We have had a few come down with it and have recovered. In my building, we've had one resident who's now over at Hacienda. And we can only speculate, when they're all locked down, And this particular lady hadn't left the building. And it had to have been one of us bringing it into her. And so that's why I wear my mask. But it has been a blessing, and I pray when I go around, I pray that there would be peace and comfort. And I have experienced that, except for this last week. I kind of blew it, and boy, did I have a bad week. you know, just getting angry, you know, and thinking, oh, wait a minute, slow down. You know, you're getting into the old ways and stuff. But I had residents ask me, you know, they'd see me outside their window and say, what are you doing? And I've told them, well, can we come out and march with you? Well, no, you can't. But you can do it inside your apartment. And several residents have joined me, clock in the morning, for a half hour, praying for the cul-de-sac. Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you, Betsy. Praise God. Isn't God good? You know, God does. Betsy, was that you that your boss saw you and since you were coming in early to pray that he offered to give you, pay you for that time? Was that you? That's okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But that was you, huh? Yeah, praise God. You know, God does, you know, God honors prayer. How many of you know that? How many know that God honors prayer? But let me just, what he's looking for is faith. Do you know that? He's looking for faith. He's looking for trust. He's looking that you trust him in everything that's around you. So remember that. God told Abraham, I am your shield, right? And your exceeding great reward. That's what he told Abraham. So God is a shield of ours. How many believe that? And I'll tell you, some of you might say, well, I don't believe that. But I'll tell you, you need to believe it because it's true. The word of God is true. And what God has said to Abraham, how many know that we are the seed of Abraham? And so he says it to all of us, man. So praise God. Let's just worship God. Is everybody's heart clear? Does anybody else would like to? I just want to do one thing. Is that okay? Rosie, can you come here? Yeah. Praise God. My wife. Yes, Liz. No. Come here, man. Come here, man. Wait. Gotta have one of these. And you know how to use it. You know how to use that.
First of all, it's great to see everyone. I love you guys. I just want to give God praise and glory for my mama. Today's her birthday. I won't tell you how old she is because she'll get mad at me. But about 3 years ago, I almost lost her. She was really, really sick, and some of you went and prayed for her, and I appreciate that. But I just give God glory for my mom, and she's gone through a lot. She was widowed. I was 7 when I lost my dad, and she was a single mom raising myself, and she raised my sister and I. And so I just want to give God glory for my mom. If you guys all want to sing happy birthday to her, I'd really appreciate that. Oh, here you go.
Eli's birthday altar. Oh, you want them to sing?
Yeah.
You're a singer. Come
Henry, no, you have to sing. You made her come up.
You want me to do it like Elvis?
Yeah, I want you to
sing. Happy birthday. No, just kidding. Why don't you do it? Go ahead.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cruz. Happy birthday to you
and Eli too. Anybody else's birthday today? No, praise God. Rosie, come here. I just want to give a little testimony. Somewhere between 1965, 66. I know that's a long time ago, isn't it? Wow. I saw this young lady walking on a baseball field in Bisbee, Arizona. And when I saw her, I fell in love. And it took me a while to convince her that I was the guy she needed. I mean, it was rough. But anyway, Tuesday we celebrated our 47th anniversary. So I just want to tell you, this God has plans. You know, when I saw her, I just couldn't quit thinking about her. And so God knew that I would need her. You guys don't know this, but I will tell you, in the middle of the night, she's up praying in the spirit, almost every night. And I know Pastor John's wife does the same thing. Can I tell you something? This church moves by the Holy Ghost, and it won't move any other way. And that's the only way I want it to move. Amen. And I appreciate my wife so much because of her late night encounters with our God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Mia. I love you. Praise God. So let's worship God, and then and then we'll dismiss that. I don't know if you guys had a roast on. Sorry. We love you guys.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.